Senate has please come to order. Let the record show Senator Joseph, Vice Chairman Sturzelewski, Senator Fisher, the whole committee present.
We're all on hand.
As usual. It's the chair's intention to pass out House Bill 215. The committee substitute was already prepared. You guys have looked at it. Chair would accept a motion.
Move the...
Wait just a minute. Is there a problem with this? Anybody against this?
Madam Chair, you need a bill first, or motion to bring it before us. I would move the committee substitute to be before us and ask unanimous consent.
Is that objection? Chair would accept a motion on House Bill 215?
Move the bill with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? So be it. The next bill before us today is House Bill 231 relating to the amount of general temporary relief assistance. And we have prime sponsor, Representative Clarkson. Something. Insides is upside down. That's what's... Excuse me.
Madam Chair, my name is Representative Don Clarkson. I'm a prime sponsor of House Bill 231. I've provided a memorandum to you with some material. Does each member have that material?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be prepared to answer any questions. The bill is very simple, was not amended through the House process because it simply increases from $80 to $200 per month the amount of money available under the general relief program. Hasn't been changed since the 1950s.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Representative Clarkson, there's been a problem for a long time. This has been such a minuscule amount. What do you expect will happen with the raising of this? Obviously, we'll be able to serve the constituency out there better. But will it bring in large numbers of people to apply who didn't apply when it was such a low amount? What impact do you think we're going to have?
Yes, I think that there will be some increase in caseload. The character of the caseload is not likely to change because it's... As I've said in my backup material, this is sort of a safety net program for people that don't fit one of the other programs.
Yeah.
Certainly there are people now who currently do not apply for this money because it isn't enough money to solve their problem. The most common example is a person who has a $600 rent payment due and is being evicted, and they come in and say, well, can I get some help to stop my eviction? They say, great, you can have $80 a month, or $80 times the number of people in your family. If that's not enough, they won't even bother to apply. So there will be more applications, but it's because the original amount wasn't added.
Yes, Representative Clarkson, I have a problem only with budget. Now, I understand that the proposed budget has about
$399,000 is the proposed fiscal for... The appropriation in the operating budget, I believe it's the same for both the House and Senate version of the budget, is $537,000 for the program without this bill.
Without the bill. So then, on top of that five something, would go the $499?
$399.
Or let's call it four for four.
Right.
Is that, I'll let finance worry about that.
Madam Chair, there are dollars for new legislation. It's going to be competition for what goes, but I'm with you. I mean, this has been a totally inadequate one down at the bottom of the scale, and they have to balance those new program needs up there.
As I understand it, though, the new is setting on about 8, and it's now about 16, so those...
Is that where we are?
Yeah, there's a slight...
Another
problem
little problem.
There. Yeah, it almost stopped my little 58,000, so... But that's a battle for another day.
Yes. In the backup, the information says that the governor's request is 302.
For this piece of the program. Right?
There's two parts to the general relief program. One is for paupers' burials.
Yep.
That's not affected by this bill at all.
Okay.
The other half of it is for this portion.
Yeah, it's the 302 then that has it. But it's five something with the 302.
About half of the $537,000 is in the operating budget, Mr. Perry.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Paul?
Question.
Senator Fisher.
For instance, you could have, I don't want to use the term hippie yippies or whatever, but the way I read the bill, you could have 20 people coming in for the summer. There's no visible means of support, but they may be college students. I'm using probably a bad example, but they want to come up here and they officially apply for a job. They're not residents of the state, but you don't have to be a resident to get this. So my question would be, how long does it take to apply and get funds if you come in and just say, we just, you know, have no money, but we want to be part of the program?
There's several provisions of the bill, if I may, Madam Chair, that respond to this. First of all, that you do have to be present in the state to receive it. Secondly, there is a work registration requirement in the program. Thirdly, you have to have no resources in order to qualify. Fourthly, you have to exhaust all other resources, which means you've got to go to some of these other programs and have it determined that you're not eligible for any of those. The program if there is a typical person that's qualified for this program, it's not the type of person you're talking about. It's an AFDC mother who's just been abandoned, and it takes 30 days for her to get her AFDC check, and she has nothing to buy food. Or it's a person who is disabled, but there is a pending disability claim. Sometimes those take 60, 90 days. During that period, they don't get any assistance, so the assistance is provided by this program.
What's the soonest somebody can get money under this program, assuming they come in by a week, 7 days?
We can write a field warrant the same day. And typically do on the day of the application.
This, again, if I can remind you, this is a vendor payment only. You don't write a check to
the person.
They go out and cash it at this quick stop. It's a payment to a landlord or to a utility company or a voucher for a food.
Are there further questions? When I was visiting a home a few weeks ago, the food bank came to me, and they were very upset. They were out of food in the food bank. Those people who take food stamps, sometimes it's 30-day periods, and there was no food available, and they call the department, and they can't find out whether or not somebody's getting food stamps, because that's considered a privacy thing. Is it possible the department could just say, well, they're available for food bank help? Is that violating anybody's privacy act?
If I may, Madam Chair, John Tabor, Director of Public Assistance, and we've done quite a bit of investigation into that specific problem, and it appears that the problem developed because of a miscommunication, perhaps, between the food bank and our public assistance staff. We have traditionally referred all urgent cases to the food bank, urgent cases being those that qualify for expedited food stamps under our rules. To qualify for expedited food stamps, you must have less than $100 in cash and earn less than $100 in cash, basically, is the rule. You are eligible to receive food stamps within 5 days under expedited rules. But to cover people between the first and the fifth day, we have referred them to the food banks, wherever food banks existed. And Fairbanks, after discussion with the food bank itself, we were encouraged to refer all public assistance clients, and my staff began doing that. Unfortunately, that resulted in a deluge of applicants for food assistance at the food banks. We've now gone back to our original policy and are referring only our expedited cases to the food bank, and I believe that is working much more smoothly again.
They do have some food now to use?
It's my understanding that they're back in an operating posture and presumably have been able to restore enough food to their supplies to be able to meet emergency needs. But I think that there was a miscommunication that people who were getting food stamps or were eligible to receive food stamps within a relatively few days, and Fairbanks is our fastest delivery site in the state. They are seeing people within 7 days and providing food stamps within 2 weeks in Fairbanks. So there just really wasn't any reason for a problem to develop there.
But it did,
because of this communication problem where we were referring all of our food stamp applicants at the request of the food bank. Apparently the food bank didn't appreciate what that would add up to. We had 1,800 food stamp applicants statewide in the month of March, illustrate the problem. So we've got a lot of those folks were in Fairbanks, of course, and when you have that many coming in any given month, it's going to add up. Our expedites amounted to 14 cases in Fairbanks in the month of
April. That they got
April.
300.
Yeah.
Whacked them out.
In the month of April, when we returned to our original policy, we referred 14 cases to Fairbanks. So that, as compared to a couple of hundred in February, obviously would make a big difference in their caseload.
What is the committee's pleasure?
I move the bill, Mr. Manager.
Individual recommendation?
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Unanimous consent?
Yes, unanimous consent.
I deserve change. So be it. Is there anything else come before the committee? I know you were dying to testify, Paul.